The FBI is at it again. 3 months ago, we reported that the Federal Bureau of Investigation had contacted and tried to question opponents of the Keystone XL pipeline in Idaho, even though the protesters merely committed acts of civil disobedience. Well, now the Bureau has acknowledged that its Houston field office broke FBI rules as it investigated Keystone opponents in Texas as well. Internal FBI documents show that the probe of what it calls environmental extremism went ahead without proper authority. Adam Fetterman is a reporter with Earth Island Journal who wrote about the FBI's actions in The Guardian, and he joins me now. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks very much.
Your recent article in The Guardian touches on how the FBI failed to follow its own rules as it engaged in surveillance of Keystone pipeline opponents. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, I think it's helpful actually to step back to kind of fill in the backdrop of the story, which involved an environmental organization called Tar Sands Blockade, which had started to actively organize in Houston and other parts of Texas in late summer of 2012, where tar sands oil would eventually end up at refineries there. You had a lot of interest in the Keystone Pipeline. It had become a national issue. And it was right around this time that the FBI's Houston office started to gather intelligence on activists and on tar sands blockade. We know that the investigation was formally opened in January 2013, but the FBI had intelligence leading up to that. And the revelation that the agency had violated its own internal rules and regulations surfaced in August of 2013, so quite a ways into this investigation.
What exactly did the FBI do in terms of not following its own rules?
So the investigation that was opened into anti-Keystone activists was described in several places as a sensitive investigative matter, which is a particular kind of investigation that involves political organizations, religious organizations, academic institutions, or media organizations. And these kinds of investigations require a higher threshold of approval to be opened. And in this case, the Houston office did not seek the legal counsel or approval from a high-ranking agent that they needed. And that was the reason why there was this report of noncompliance. And at that point, the FBI says that the issue was remedied and the proper approval was granted, and the investigation continued for almost another year.
Adam, how did you discover that the FBI hadn't followed its own rules?
So in the Freedom of Information Act request that we filed, the documents that we obtained include the report of noncompliance, which was drafted in August of 2013. So it wasn't something that we learned of, you know, after the fact. It's part of the investigative file.
To what extent did you get information as to how and why the FBI had decided to classify these protesters as extremists?
That's an excellent question and probably the hardest to answer because the documents are redacted. And the way that environmental extremism is defined in the documents we have is incredibly broad, which is both troubling and also makes you wonder, you know, what sort of intelligence the agency was using to base its investigation on. I mean, they say that environmental extremists believe that the debates over pollution, and I'm quoting directly here, protection of wildlife safety and property rights have been overshadowed by the promise of jobs and cheaper oil prices, which I think would characterize the way a lot of people feel, especially in these places that are directly affected by oil and gas development.
You say the FBI justified its investigation into these activists, these Keystone activists. What was the justification?
The justification that the FBI has given is that there were threats of violence to the Keystone Pipeline project. However, it's very vague. They haven't offered any explanation for that intelligence. And in the files that we obtained, there are comments throughout the documents about how they have no evidence of extremist activity, no intelligence that any of these activists are planning to commit violence. So it wasn't that hard for the FBI to really see that, okay, this organization is made up of activists who feel strongly about this issue and they're willing to get arrested and commit these acts of civil disobedience. But then to conflate that with environmental extremism, I think, is where we get into pretty murky water.
How fair is it to say that the FBI might have been motivated by certain business interests here?
It's becoming abundantly clear that the energy industry in particular and law enforcement at every level routinely share information, and the extent to which law enforcement, including the FBI, is being influenced or even taking some direction from private companies is a key question. And especially going forward, given the mounting conflict between the environmental movement and the oil and gas industry. So in East Houston, in fact, where a lot of the organizing was taking place with tar sands blockade, there's an interesting example of how this sort of plays out in real time. There's a major oil refinery there, the Valero refinery, which would accept tar sands oil from Alberta. And activists in that neighborhood have been campaigning for years around environmental issues. And one of the things that they often do is they take photos of flaring at some of the refineries and industrial facilities along the port there. And these folks who I've spoken to have been followed by corporate security. They've been questioned. They've been harassed by police. And one individual was actually contacted by an FBI agent. So it's become very easy for these companies to simply contact the FBI if they are confronted with activity that they simply don't approve of or don't like.
Adam, if the FBI is watching more and more activists, who is watching the FBI?
It's an excellent question. So I think what we can glean from these documents that we've obtained is that no one's really watching the FBI. They're out there opening investigations with very little evidence that criminal activity may be involved. In fact, we know that since 9/11, the category of investigation that was opened in this case is called an assessment. And an assessment can be opened with no reasonable suspicion and gives the FBI incredible power to pry into the lives and activities of individuals and organizations.
Adam Fetterman writes for Earth Island Journal. His recent article on the FBI surveillance of Keystone XL pipeline activists was published by The Guardian. Thanks so much, Adam, for taking the time.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
We contacted the FBI repeatedly for comment, but they did not respond in time for our deadline. There are links to the FBI documents at our website, loe.org.